Well, the first segment of our show today, I am thrilled to death to welcome Dr. Deanna Brann. Dr. Brann has written a book called Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Your Daughter-in-Law. Dr. Brann, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you took a chance to come on with us. We try to keep things light, and I'm very, very interested in your topic for a lot of reasons, the first of which is I can't be either of those two things.
That's true. You can't.
Either a mother-in-law or a daughter-in-law. And I have many, many sisters-in-law. And so we've seen a little of that dynamic. But from my point of view, I've been very blessed also because my relationship with my mother-in-law was absolutely fabulous. She was an incredible woman. And at some point during our talk today, Doctor, I want to just tell a little story about her. But
sure.
your book, it must be extremely interesting. And I think that our listeners ought to make a little note that they should get it and read it. Reluctantly Related by Dr. Deanna Brann. Put a group of women together, bring up the subject of mothers-in-law or daughters-in-law, and you can hear the electricity start to crackle in the air. So as that, using that as a starter, Dr. Brann, tell us a little bit about yourself first, before we get rolling here. I'd like to know a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you went to school, and how you got interested in all this.
Well, I grew up in Indiana, actually, and then moved to Michigan. So I lived in Michigan most of my adult life. I now live in Tennessee as a retired person, but I'm also a psychologist, so I've been in private practice for many, many years, as I say, retired from that. And I've obviously been very interested in people for a very long time.
Obviously.
Because that's just, I just find them fascinating. I love the stories. I love to understand why people do what they do. And
can that ever be done, Doctor? Can you ever understand why people do what they do? Or do you just observe it and say, and come to some conclusions?
Well, probably the latter there, yeah.
I'll give you a little bit of each. Let's say a little bit of each.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Sure. So you are retired.
I am retired, and that's when I started writing the book. So
I was going to say
my second career.
Busier than ever.
Yes, exactly. Very busy in retirement.
So where did you go to school?
I went to school at U of M, and I went to school at Eastern Michigan, so obviously in the Michigan schools. And I also went to school at the Union Institute in Ohio.
And you have a PhD.
I do.
A lot of work goes into that.
It sure does.
I mean, you know, it's a lot of study, a lot of time, but well worth it. Well, let's talk about, you gave me a sheet of suggested topics. I think it's really cool. So one of them is your mother-in-law sabotaging your love life? Can we talk about that a little bit? I'm absolutely fascinated. First of all, I was so tickled when I found out you were going to do our show. I was absolutely tickled. Because I'm so interested in this, so if I say, and we want to keep it light but informative, which is kind of our bent every day. But your subjects are serious.
They're serious, but you have to bring humor into it, and my book does that a lot. I it's a very serious topic. It's a very painful topic for women, but the humor really does help because you have to look at the lighter side of things, or you will just go crazy with this.
Yes. You'll drive yourself crazy.
Absolutely.
So is your mother-in-law sabotaging your love life? Four strategies for keeping his mom from coming between the two of you.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, let me kind of explain that a little bit. The way that happens is this. You know, typically husbands and their wives will fight, and it oftentimes can be around his mother. You know, so, mm-hmm. You know, she did this or she didn't do this or she said this or she didn't say this. And so they start fighting about his mom. And then that starts to spill over into other areas of their marriage. And what happens is, you know, then they'll be fighting about money and then they'll be fighting about the kids and then they'll be fighting about this. And then what ends up happening is that the woman, the daughter-in-law, she starts to really see her husband in a different way than she wants to. She stops respecting him because she thinks, well, he's, you know, siding with his mom or whatever she thinks.
Yeah, and he could be a little bit confused about who he should side with in a way.
Sure, and he's caught in the middle, typically. you know, mom and
Did I just hear a pass for the guy?
No.
We give him a pass?
No. Just a rationale, okay?
Ah, yes. Well done.
Never a pass. Because he has a responsibility in this, too. But, but he is caught in the middle oftentimes.
Yeah. Who it is? I'm going to pick between mom and my wife? Well, you know, in my case, that would have been really easy because I never got in any battles with my mother-in-law. But that wasn't the case. So what are the strategies?
Well, one of the things that women have to do is really see this as this is really an issue between them and their husbands. And it really has less to do with his mother than it does about them as a couple. And so what she needs to do is, one, recognize that. She needs to take also another emotional step back and not take everything so personal that he says or does, whatever, because he is caught in the middle, you know, and he's not sure what he's supposed to do. So one of the things I really recommend women do is, number one, they have to get clear in their own mind what it is they're wanting from him. I mean, if they don't know what they want, how can he know? You know, do they just want to vent? Do they want to have him come up with a solution? Do they want a problem solved? Do they want, you know, him to go tell his mom something? What do they want from him?
Well, Dr. Brand, it's interesting because this is a second battle of the sexes, if you will. I know it's the wrong categorization, but the first one, of course, is that we read and hear about all the time, and people make jokes about the husband versus the wife. Now this is right. The mother-in-law versus the daughter-in-law.
Right.
And so there's this clash. But from a guy's point of view, I could understand how if that would have happened in a situation, how the wife and the husband, because they're kind of on the outs, the wife would clam up.
Yeah.
Because I think that we see, never happened to me, or maybe once or twice, but I've been married for a very long time to the sweetest woman in the world, and I'm married way above my station, and she's a great gal. But she gets a little clammed up every once in a while if I say something stupid. But in a situation like this, wow.
Yeah, and you know, then the husband starts to resent his wife, resent his mother, and it just gets to be a really ugly situation. And that's why it's really important to learn how to talk to your husband in a way that isn't going to create this defensiveness. And the best way to do that is to keep it between the two of you. Ask him, you know, say, you know, your mother did this, whatever it was, and it really hurt my feelings. Help me figure out a way to problem solve this. Help me figure out a way to talk to her or to do this. You know, ask him exactly what it is you want from him so that he can know what he's supposed to do. And he'll help you, but he needs to know what it is you want from him. If you just start spewing information or you clam up, he doesn't know what to do.
Dr. Brand, it's communication, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Open.
Absolutely.
The husband and the wife have to be open in a communication about, here's the problem, it's your mom, here's the problem, please help me solve this problem, let's the two of us figure it out, and then I'll do what I have to do based on what we decide to do. Dr.
Exactly.
Brand, we're up on a hard break here. We'll be gone for a minute or two, and when we come back, there's going to be a lot more. This is great, and again, thank you for joining us today. We'll be right back.
Now back to Apopka Today on your hometown station, 1520 WBZW. Online at 1520WBZW.com. Here's Paul Rogers.
Yes, and welcome back to Apopka Today. On this day in 1960, November the 16th, 1960, at Owen Bradley's recording studio in Nashville, Patsy Cline recorded I Fall to Pieces. It became her signature song. Folks all over the world have covered that tune, and you still hear it on a lot of the radio stations. Here's what's interesting. From our Oops department, Brenda Lee was first offered the song, and she turned it down because she said it was too country. We do make mistakes from time to time. My guest is Dr. Deanna Brand, who is a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law expert. She's also a Ph.D. and, so far, a terrific lady. I've been having a great time. Dr. Brand, welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking about how mother-in-laws could sabotage love life, and it got down to a situation where I think you informed me, and I agree, that communication's really a good idea between the husband and the wife, so that the wife knows what to say to the mother-in-law, or the husband can go and say something to the mother-in-law and say, hey, Ma, you know, we don't want to have this. Now, don't sweat the small stuff with your in-law. This is a good one in my mind because it's the little stone that's in your shoe. that's not bad enough to stop you from walking, but it sure does bother you. And the little things, and the little things, if left undealt with, can grow to unbelievable proportions. Let's talk about that for a bit.
Sure.
Four tips for staying in control when mother-in-law or daughter-in-law, depending on which way it's going, is pushing your buttons.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and that happens so often, you know, those little things that can really, you know, get to you. And probably the first thing I want to say about that is to stop taking everything so personal. You know, sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes the person, you know, either it's a lot about them, you know, and their own personality and just who they are, and it has nothing to do with you. They treat everybody like they're treating you, or they're having a bad day sometimes. And so it really is important to not take everything so personally.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking at one point with one of my sons about some trivial thing that was going on and how I was storming around and stomping around. He said, "Dad," and this, now I'm talking about a guy that's 40 years old at this point, my son, or 35. I don't know how long ago this was. He said, "Dad, is that the hill you really want to die on?"
Wow.
And I thought about that for a minute, and I said, you know, it doesn't matter. In the overall scheme of things, that particular event could be immediately cast into the wastebasket of it never happened. What difference does it make? And so I believe that people get carried away with stuff that doesn't matter.
Exactly. That's exactly true. And I think your son is very wise, you know, in bringing that up.
I'll tell him you said that. He'll be complimented.
But it's true. I mean, you have to look at the bigger picture, and mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law have to do that too. What is it that you really want to achieve here? You know, does being angry help you get closer to where you really want to be in this relationship? You know, probably not.
A situation where maybe one or the other party, it couldn't always be the mother-in-law, because it works both ways.
It works both ways, absolutely.
It could be that a characteristic of one or the other of the two people in the conflict is that they kind of throw down these one-liners, and it's sort of a habit. It's a characteristic. They just throw down a one-liner that's insulting or could be described as hurtful. But because it's what they do all the time, it's almost like the boy that cried wolf. I would think sooner or later the other party would get over it.
Yeah, you would think. They typically don't, but I think the thing, you know, it's like, again, it's like, look at who you're dealing with. You know, this is who this person is. They don't just do it with you. They do it with everybody. And so they're not trying to deliberately hurt you. It's kind of who they are. And if you look at mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law for a moment, they are thrown together in this relationship. It's a very artificial relationship initially, because the only reason they're together is because of that husband or son. You know, they didn't choose each other.
Sure, sure. They might not have ever met, or if they had, might have never been friends.
Exactly. So, you know, you have to learn who this other person is and figure that out, so that you can learn to not take things personally. You know, the daughter-in-law grew up in a different family. She had different things going on. They did things differently than the son's family. So, you know, you really have to learn who the other person is, and you have to create a relationship, you know, based on who that person is.
I know so little about the science, if you will, and it is a science of psychology, but I've always been told that there's a very special bond between a mother and a son. I know that I had a great mom, and we were very close.
Mm-hmm.
So now here's the son who has now gone away from that. He's not living in that house anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's living with another woman. And so there has to be a little bit of a pull away there that has to happen, because now the most important person in your life really ought to be your wife, in my opinion. I mean, mom's important and all, but now you're starting
in a different way.
Well, of course, but now you're starting a family, or you're with a new life. I love the term life's companion, because that's the way I view my particular marriage. But you have a new life's companion, and you're trying to make this. You're trying to be a participant in making it work.
Paul, you make such an important point. You know, sons do typically have a very close bond or a real bond with their mother. However, and that bond will never go away. It needs to change a bit.
Ah.
You know, it doesn't need to go away. And so, let me put it this way. The bond never goes away. The relationship will change.
There you go.
The bond will stay. And I think what happens is we get confused. We assume that the bond and the relationship are one and the same, and they're not. They are very different. And so, you know, he needs to grow away emotionally from his mom, and mom needs to let him do that. You know, she has a different role now.
And therein lies a little bit of the problem also, because
exactly.
mom is still maybe, you don't know, we're theorizing here, but we know that these situations exist in real life all the time and all over the place. Mom doesn't want to really let go so much, maybe.
Typically, she doesn't. And what ends up happening a lot of the times is because she sees, and being a mom myself, and my son's 40, so, you know, he's still my son. You know, he's still my kid. You know?
Yeah, well, do they ever grow up? I mean, they do, but, you know, they're still your children.
You know, they're still our children. But what we have to do is let them be adult children. And we have to, what typically happens, the mothers-in-law will do this. They will, okay, this is my son. Well, then she becomes my daughter, so to speak. And she doesn't. She's a woman in her own right.
I have to give you an example, Dr. Brand, about, it's not about me, but I just have to tell you this. When I was about 25 or 26, I was giving my mom a lot of Who Struck John one day. And when as a little boy, whenever mom got mad, she'd point her index finger. It was a now look at moment. Now look at. She'd say, now look at Mr. Man. And when she called me Mr. Man, I knew that I was in deep trouble. So now I'm 25 or 26, and I'm going on about something, and I said something stupid. I don't remember what this was. I remember where it was. It was in the kitchen of our home. And she said, let me tell you something, Mr. Man. And I went, oh. She said, I don't care if I'm 95 and you're 70. I'm still your mother. And I was ready to open my mouth and come back, and I stopped. And I said, you know what? She's right. And I just cooled my jets and said, you know, Mom, you're right, and walked out of the room.
Wise decision.
Oh, well, see, but there's that bond. There's that thing, yeah. The pull away and the pull back. Yeah. Now, Dr. Brand, we're coming up on a little newscast that we do at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to have a little break. But there's something I really, really want to talk with you about in the next segment, and that is this. It's the holidays, and families are getting together, and there again, as you pointed out, it's a mother-in-law, it's a daughter-in-law. They've been, quote-unquote, thrown into this situation because that's the girl the guy chose, and now it's this make-nice kind of thing. But the situation that I would like to talk to you about is what happens in the kitchen.
Perfect. We'll do that.
So when we come back on Apopka Today, and we'll be back.
1520 WPCW, Apopka's hometown station.
There's no place like home.
Streaming live on iHeartRadio, online at 1520WPCW.com, and on the air at 1520WPCW. Now back to Apopka Today on your hometown station, 1520WPCW. Here's Paul Rogers.
Yes, and welcome back to Apopka Today. On this day in history, 58 years ago, November the 16th, 1954, at Webster Hall in New York City, Perry Como recorded There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. And we're going to hear that song a lot over the next 6 or 8 weeks. 58 years ago, that song has been around for 58 years. And you know what? You hear it at the holidays, and you still love it. My guest is Dr. Deanna Brand. Her book is Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. Dr. Brand, do you have a website?
I do. The easiest way to get to it is just go to inlawsos.com or reluctantlyrelated.com.
Inlawsos. That's very creative. Did you come up with that?
I did.
You get the gold star for today's program. We only award one. You got it. The show's not
Thank
over.
You.
You got it. Inlawsos.com. Now, is that where we can find your books?
Yes, my book is on the website. I also have a lot. I have question and answers. People can write in questions. I have a great questionnaire people can take. If they want to figure out which type of mother-in-law or which type of daughter-in-law they're dealing with, they can fill out the questionnaire, and they'll get the results right away.
Some people might be afraid to take that test.
Well, you know, better to know who you're dealing with. Then yeah. You'll know what to do.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Yes, yeah, really.
Better if you do. So here we are. It's holiday time, and now every family's all getting together at somebody's house. And now here's a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and they find themselves in the kitchen. This is now this is in the early going. That let's say the marriage is only 2 or 3 years in existence. So the daughter-in-law's only been in the family for a couple or 3 years. This might be the first time they've ever had Christmas together, let's say, or Thanksgiving at the daughter-in-law's house. So now they're in the kitchen. Mom's been doing this for 55 years. The young woman's been doing it for four. How does that all work?
Yeah, it can be pretty dicey, to say the least. And you know, to make it easier for people, first off, you have to understand this is going to be stressful. Holidays are stressful no matter what. You're trying something different here. You know, you're going to the daughter-in-law's house, let's say, or even if the daughter-in-law's coming to your house. You know, it's still stressful. And so the one of the best things you can do is look at this as be a team player. You know, if you're going over to your daughter-in-law's house, let's say, you know, ask her if you can bring something. You know, ask her how you can help her. Don't just jump in and start doing stuff because she's going to interpret that probably as if you are criticizing her or something. So ask her how you can help. And if she says, oh, you don't need to help me, then just stay there and talk with her and compliment her and ask her questions and spend time getting to know her and creating that relationship with her so that, you know, you can walk away from that holiday and she can walk away from the holiday feeling pretty good because she's going to feel like you made a connection with her.
How about
and that you were respectful of her home.
How about this for a rule? When you're in the other one's kitchen, never start a sentence with the words, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, Margaret, I wouldn't
put
the salt over on that table like that.
Yeah,
I'd kind of set it over here.
Yeah, I think that's very wise.
That's like bringing gasoline to a fire, I suppose.
Exactly.
Not good.
Don't assume they want your help, you know. Don't just jump in, ask, you know.
And what if one or the other one says, honey, you know, I appreciate you're here, but I'd just rather do this by myself, if you don't mind. So why don't you go with your husband and the kids or whatever, and go bowling or whatever it is. Go out in the backyard because I'm fine. What? The other person I think should honor that and just leave.
I think she should too, absolutely,
and not be hurt.
Yeah, I mean, again, don't take it personally. People've got their, especially again at the holidays, people typically are more stressed than normal, and they have their own way of doing things. And so, and women are kind of funny about their kitchens, you know?
Really? Never noticed.
So if she says that, take her at her word.
We have this huge family. And so when my wife has three sisters and a brother, and we do or have always gotten together in massive numbers of people. So it's everybody in the kitchen. And it's chaos. You know, if a Martian walked out, you know, walked through the house and saw that, they'd say, whoo. I need to get back in the ship and get out of here because it's wild. But it works because they've worked together like that for such a long time. We have so few that we're very blessed. We have so few of those problems. But the territorial imperative must come out from time to time, especially in the kitchen.
It does. And again, being respectful of that and not taking it personally, that is something that women do that. Men don't seem to take things personally, and in some ways that's a good thing because they don't get caught up in all this stuff that women typically do. And I think it's just part of being who we are as women. You know, we look at relationships very differently than men do. And so we take things very personally, and we really have to stop doing that because it ends up hurting us in the end.
From a guy's point of view, I learned it very, very early from watching my mother and father-in-law and also my parents. When mom's happy, everybody's happy. So that's in the home. When mom's happy, everybody's happy. So you have to do, and I'm one of three children, but all boys. My mother had to be a saint. She raised three boys and dad. I don't know how she ever pulled that off. But so when mom's happy, everybody's happy. And so if you're the daughter-in-law and you're in the other house, you're in mom's house, and whatever needs to happen to keep her happy, that's kind of rule number one. And then rules 2 through 10 are C rule one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Now,
but it would be the same if whoever's house you're in, you have to respect what's going on for them and that this is their house.
Yes, the territorial imperative once again. Whose kitchen is this?
Exactly.
And you never want somebody to stomp their foot and say that. Whose kitchen is this? I can see where that would go.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Not good. One of your story ideas is don't worry about me. Effective ways to deal with a passive-aggressive mother-in-law. Do you watch much television?
I watch my fair share.
Have you seen the show Mike and Molly?
I have not.
It's very, very funny. Mike is a Chicago cop, and Molly's an elementary school teacher, and they've recently married, and this show's only two or three seasons old. But Mike has a mother that's very, very domineering, and she's also the don't worry about me, because when something happens, oh, don't you worry about me, and she stomps out of the room with her little dog, and Mike's got this look on his face like, oh, and Molly's going, boy, I'm glad she left the room, because I don't like her very much. If you saw the show, you would see if you watched that show, you would see many of the things that you were trained to deal with.
Yes.
So I highly recommend it. It's a half an hour.
I'll watch it.
They're a little edgy. And then Molly's mother is kind of wacky, too. She has a whole different thing going on. But the dynamic between the actor that's playing Mike and the actress that's playing, they're terrific at this, by the way. And the show's very funny. They get a little edgy from time to time, but it's very funny. But when I saw this tip, effective ways to deal with a passive-aggressive mother-in-law, that thought came to my mind. So let's talk about that for a minute or two, and then we have another break, and then we'll come back and hit fifth gear and go like the Dickens. But let's talk about this. Don't worry about me. Or the word fine. How are you? Fine.
Fine.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a terrible word.
You know, passive-aggressive people in general are so difficult to deal with because you can't get them to really look at anything, and you can't talk to them directly about anything. The best thing to do with someone like this is to use humor. And when
make them mad?
Well, it doesn't. It depends. You don't want to use humor in making fun of them. You want to use humor in the sense of making the situation light.
I see.
You know, so and the reason for that is you kind of let them know through humor that you get where they're coming from, but you're not going to make a big deal about it, and you just kind of move on. You put it out there, and then you move on, and that way they get the message, but they don't need to make a comeback. They don't need to save face. They don't need to do any of that. And eventually, their behavior will change.
Well, when you say keep it light, you are not including, come on, Doris, lighten up.
That one. No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, it's amazing. The human dynamic it has to be the most fascinating study, one of the two or three most. The human dynamic. There are 6 billion. Think about this. There are 6 billion of us on this earth. If it dissolved into chaos, there could actually be 3 billion two-person fights. So maybe we're not doing so bad.
Well, if you look at it like that,
well,
you're probably
you got to find the good spots there somewhere.
Silver lining. So, yes.
Thank you. Well said. We're talking with Dr. Deanna Brand, who is the author of a book, Reluctantly Related: Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Your Daughter-in-Law. Dr. Brand, I'm having a great time. I hope you're enjoying it. We're going to take a two-minute break, and then we'll be back. And as I said, we're going to go like the Dickens.
Hey, Apopka. This is your hometown station, and this is your hometown program. Apopka Today on 1520 WPZW. Here's Paul Rogers.
Yes, today is November the 16th, and in 1864 on this day, General William Tecumseh Sherman began their March to the Sea, a famous battle that ended the Civil War. They started in Atlanta on the 16th of November, ended in Savannah on the 21st of December, effectively decimating that part of the South, and for all intents and purposes, ending the war. For years thereafter, they kept asking Sherman to run for president, and after a little while, he uttered what I think is one of the greatest sentences I've ever heard in my life. He said, "If nominated, I will not run, and if elected, I will not serve." So that kind of put an end to all of that nonsense. We're talking with Dr. Deanna Brand, author of the book Reluctantly Related: Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Your Daughter-in-Law. Dr. Brand, welcome back.
Thank you.
Here's a situation I want to run by you because it's a little bit on the other side of what we've been talking about. A couple marries, the husband's mother and the son's wife really, really hit it off. They become really good friends. Then the couple divorces. So now you have the ex-wife and the mother-in-law are pals. What kind of a dynamic does that create? Is the son getting all huffy about that, or what's going on with that?
Well, actually, that does happen, which is kind of interesting. He shouldn't, especially if there's children involved. You know, he
really shouldn't. Oh, of course. Grammy is very important.
Exactly. And, you know, so, you know, he needs to just kind of go with the flow that they have their own relationship separate from him, you know, and they probably spent years to create that. And you just don't end a relationship because as a couple you end. So I think, you know, if that does happen, he needs to be okay with it. As long as they make an agreement, we do not talk about the ex-husband or the son. You just don't talk about him.
Yeah, that makes sense, because they're friends and they're going to go out and have lunch and talk about the kids or somebody's new car or whatever. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
They just need to make a rule. You know, we don't talk about him and or what's going on in his life. You know,
and then when they come home and the husband and the wife get back together, he says, "So what did Mom have to say today?"
Yeah,
and she goes, "Oh, do I have to? Please?
Yeah,
we've been all through that."
We don't want to go there.
Because they're not coming home anymore because they're divorced. In any case, you point out that 7 of 10 marriages have a mother-in-law or daughter-in-law problem. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
So this is not uncommon. This is common.
It is very common. And again, that can range anywhere from, you know, it's okay. I wish it was better, but it's okay, to it's full-blown meltdown, we don't even talk to each other. So it's on a continuum and it's on a range, you know, so, but it's a big number.
I think the interesting point is one you brought up very early in our discussion today, and that is that these are two people who were kind of thrown together, if you will. Now, that doesn't mean that, I don't mean that literally, because if there's a courtship and, you know, they're back and forth at each other's house, it may be 2 years or 3 years before the couple gets married, so that the two ladies have had a chance to get to know one another. It's not like it just happened 5 minutes ago, but the marriage does change something, and it's the dynamic between the husband and the mom, the fellow and his mother, and the fellow and his now wife, and that's where that change comes. And I think that's probably that little change is what starts all this.
It does, and you know, granted, they may have spent some time together, but if you don't live in the same city necessarily, you might not spend that much time together. A lot of them, if someone goes away to college and they meet their partner at college or something, you know, and her family lives somewhere else, you may not have that much contact with your future daughter-in-law.
Exactly.
So, you know, it really takes a while, and that's the biggest thing. Give it time to build that relationship. Work on that relationship. Learn who that person is separate from the husband or son. You know, it's just so important.
And again, there's so much trivial stuff that gets in the way of all kinds of human relationships, all kinds.
Absolutely.
And it's little stuff that doesn't matter. I come home from work and dinner wasn't ready at 5:30, but until 5:45.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what?
Yeah.
You know, so what? I mean, is that the hill you want to die on? You have a topic that I find to be fascinating. Well, lots of them, as a matter of fact. I can't wait to read this book. I mean this. I want to read this book. How Weekends with Your Mother-in-Law Can Help You at Work Monday Morning. Let's go on that one for a little while.
Let's go on that one. Well, one of the things that I did in my book and I did in my research is I discovered that there were different types of mothers-in-law. There were different types of daughters-in-law, and I named them in the book. There's 4 different types of mothers-in-law, 4 different types of daughters-in-law. And when you figure out who you're dealing with, when you know who your mother-in-law is or your daughter-in-law is, and in this case I said mothers-in-law, you know, that type of person that she is, maybe the same type of person that you work with, because these types of women are universal. They're everywhere. They're not just your mother-in-law or your daughter-in-law. They could be your coworker. They could be your sister-in-law. They could be, you know, your aunt. They could be a friend. You know, these types of women are everywhere. And if you know who you're dealing with, then you're going to know. In my book, I spell out exactly if you have this type of mother-in-law, these are the tools you would use to help you change that relationship. So you can use that in any female relationship. If you know that type of person, if she's an off-the-wall Wanda, then use these things. It doesn't matter if she's a mother-in-law. It doesn't matter if she's a daughter-in-law. If she's a sister, a coworker, it doesn't matter.
So you could see characteristics in your from the fellow's point of view. I could see characteristics in my mother-in-law in some people that I work with, watch how I deal with them, make assuming that it's working, and then put that same sort of tactic, I don't like that word, tactic, put that same sort of remedy in place when I'm dealing with my mother-in-law.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So learn from the crowd, in other words.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing that I didn't plan for it to come out of the, you know, into the book, but it really does, is that it really broadens it beyond mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships. These types of women that I describe in the book are everywhere. And so just use those tools to make any relationship with a female person in your life better.
Well, Dr. Brand, peaceful relationships are always better than, this is a duh, peaceful relationships are always better than warlike relationships, and so we ought to be opting to go in the direction of the peaceful ones.
Yeah.
So if you can learn from observation and from contact with other people how those people with those characteristics are behaving, and it's kind of like your mother-in-law, and you bring that home and you say, well, I can work this in, and it works, wow, everybody's the winner.
Yeah, do it. And you're going to feel better. They're going to feel better. And the beauty of, you don't even have to get them on board to change the relationship. If you change your behavior, it forces them to change their behavior.
Well, there's a principle of attitude too. If you put out a really good attitude towards someone, 99% of the time, you're going to get a good attitude back.
That's
if you're
true.
Kind and nice, people kind of want to respond that way. Dr. Bram, give me your website again, please.
It is inlawsos.
Oh, I love it. I just love it. I wanted to hear you say that one more time. inlawsos.com. Our guest has been Dr. Deanna Brand, author of the book Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Your Daughter-in-Law. Dr. Brand, thank you so very, very much for joining us today on our program. This has been a real pleasure for me. I hope you've enjoyed it, and we probably ought to pencil in having you come back and visit this again sometime.
I would love it, Paul.
This has
Thank
been
you.
Great fun.
It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
I deeply appreciate it. Once again, it's inlawsos.com. That's Dr. Brand's website. You can go there and find her book and find out a lot more about Dr. Brand and also mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationships, and I expect other things. Thanks, Dr. Brand. Have a great week and have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. My pleasure.